Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Each year at Erie First, we set aside 21 days to focus on prayer and fasting as a church family. Last week, we started our prayer and fasting focus with a new series called Pray More. Pastor Nicole started us off by examining some practical ways we can increase the effectiveness of our prayer lives. Today, Pastor Don Fisher joins us to look at ways that we can experience God's presence and protection in our lives through prayer. If you'd like to follow along with our resource guide that contains fasting tips and a prayer plan that accompanies each of our messages, you can find that link in today's show notes. So let's get started and discover the power that can be unlocked when we pray more. Here's Pastor Don.
Our Prayer of Jabez plan is something that, in fact, just curious, how many of you have ever read through the Prayer of Jabez? Several? All right. It's a good book. It's good, has a lot of good points in it. It's a good book. And if you haven't had it, I encourage you to pick it up and read through it. And we're going with a little bit different angle today because here's what happened, and I was around in 2000 when the book was published, over 10 million copies. But it's interesting that when God inspires something, what happens to it when it gets in human hands? And there were some church leaders who took this book and insinuated or implied or actually projected the fact that if you do these four things, God will always answer your prayer. I look at it a little bit differently. And so when I was sharing this with Pastor Nicole, she said, well, you are going to get to the prayer of Jabez, aren't you? Yeah, we're going to get there. We're just taking it a little bit different route. But I want to start off today with a passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, because it sets the base for where we're going with this sermon today. Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything. In case you're wondering what the word anything means, it means nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition or request, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In order to get to Jabez, I want to give you two prefaces. And actually, we have to go back 175 years. 175 years ago in our country was the beginning of what we know as the California Gold Rush. 1848 to 1855 were the predominant years. And in those years, over 300,000 people came to California looking to get rich quick. They left their families, they left their homes, they left their jobs. Many of them traveled from America, Australia, China, Europe, all going to California to get rich. Unfortunately, on the journey, some of them became disappointed and disillusioned, and some of them even died in the process of just getting to California. Unfortunately, the gold rush did make a few people rich. But most of the people that returned home with little less than what they had when they left home. In fact, Mark Twain says this, during the gold rush, it was a good time to invest in the pick and shovel business. Because those were the people that were getting rich, selling the picks and the shovels, or the hardware store, or the saloons, or the restaurants, or the livery stables. They were making money. But those 300,000 approximate people went on a journey to find something that would provide a quick answer, only to end up with a little bit more than what they had when they left. Now, fast forward with me to our era today. You are all familiar with Ponzi schemes. You're familiar with cryptocurrency. You are familiar with multi-level marketing. You are familiar with the fake job scams. You are familiar with the robocalls, which peaked in the COVID season. And we're all aware of lottery. The last one, I think, was 1.5 billion, somewhere in there, $1.5 billion. But you had a chance. Actually, your chance was 1 in 326 million that you would pull the right ticket. So we see throughout the history of mankind that there's always been opportunities for quick answers. There's always been opportunities for people to become involved in these scams, or if you will, get rich opportunities. And for one reason, they were looking to find a way for a quick solution, take the shortcut, and expect immediate results. So as I was preparing my message on Friday, I'm sitting in my office and sitting at the desk, and God gives me a couple of things that he wants me to share. And we just learned about, I won't take the time to explain, but we learned about it Thursday in our 6 hours of sermon preparation teaching, which was excellent. But the speaker said that sometimes God unravels your sermon. And I said to those in the room, I said, my sermon is done. It's Thursday. My sermon is finished. I'm not changing it. You can sit there on Sunday morning and critique me based on all of the Thursday information, but I'm done. Friday, God says, I want you to tell them two more things. And I look at my outline and I'm saying, but I don't have any room. And he says, I'll tell you what to cut out. So I get my pen and start cutting. And some personal stories I was going to share, he said, they don't need to hear that. But I want you to tell two things. Now, if I had the time, which I don't, I would like to have diagrammed this on a whiteboard. So I'm going to ask you to use your imagination and to stay with me as I'm explaining this. Because here's what I believe God has wanted me to share with you today. The difference between God's holy will and our human will. And the best way to describe that is if you were to take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle, on one side you would put God's will. And under that, you would write the words that God is omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. God is sovereign, he is providential, he looks out for his children, and he also has a specific will for our life. That is God's will. Now, the line going across that intersects God's will is our life and our will. And that is comprised of how we pray, how we praise, how much we read God's word, when we fast. All of those components in the human realm are trying to coincide with an everlasting, eternal, great God. Now, connect that with how we pray and the requests that we make. And here's what I did, because on Thursday, the guy that was doing the presentation said, you need to get feedback on your sermons. So rather than get feedback afterwards, I came in yesterday morning, I met with the intercessors, I ran them through what I was talking about, they prayed over me, and there was a good sense that this was something that was significant. In my Sunday school class today, they became my test group. Remember, juries before a trial, they have a mock jury, and they take the case before and they all do this. Well, that's what we did in class today on a small scale. But when this began to happen, every one of us in the class decided we really don't pray enough, and we really aren't praising with joy when we're going through our hard time and we're really not reading God's word as much as we should, and definitely we're not fasting when we ought to. And so we found ourselves deficient in our areas of involvement, but God was never deficient in his time. So here's what I learned from this. God is able to answer your prayer. Are we available to present ourselves to God in such a manner that is worthy of that answer? God is able to bring the results to our prayer request. Are we willing to accept the responsibility that we have in order to see the results that God brings? There's another one. Also, he said, I want you to share, and you need to stay with me on this. I want you to share what it looks like when events transect our everyday life, which we call process. Now, stay open, because what I'm about to tell you, I believe in, and I have been to many. But practically, most Christians are event-driven. We understand and we like the fact that there is an event happening. There's a conference, there are seminars, there are books that we read, there are DVDs that we listen to, there are speakers that we hear, and we get excited with anticipation, knowing that we are going somewhere to find an answer to our situation. And I have to confess, I have been to many conferences and seminars and read many books and listened to many DVDs. They're good. They're all good. I'm not anti. The point I'm making is this. When we get back home, we now have to live it out. We now have to walk through the process. And when we look at the process, that means that it might involve serving. It might involve obedience. The big one is waiting. It might involve increasing our faith. It might involve us increasing our prayer time and definitely reading more of God's word. But the bottom line is, even when we come back from these events, we still have to live out the process. In other words, nothing is free. Life isn't easy. And God is requiring us to be responsible in order to see the results. So perhaps you are already under an assumption that I'm not really big on making requests to God and really believing that God's going to answer prayer and really don't see much of a need to make requests known to God. Actually, you'd be wrong on both counts. Because I believe in prayer. I have been the recipient of prayer. I believe that prayer is a heavenly license for an earthly interference. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have as we navigate our journey. And I believe that God will always answer our prayer with a yes, a no, or a wait. But he always answers. So when we see this taking place and speaking from a perspective that's been a part of answered prayer, and you may say, Pastor Don, do you believe in instant answers? Yes. Do you believe that if I pray that God could instantly bring an answer to my request? Yes, certainly. But I also believe that there are times that God wants us to wait. You say, well, why would he want us to wait? Because he's doing something in the process that's developing and maturing and growing. And here's the thing. It's a simple example. when the potter takes the clay and puts it on the wheel, in his mind, he has a vision of this excellent piece of pottery. But in the process, the clay doesn't cooperate. It's not good enough. So what happens? The potter has to take it off the wheel, smash it back up, smooth it out, put it back on the wheel, cut away, smooth, make the feature of the pottery piece, put it in the oven. Yep, there's a burning process. Put it in the oven. And then it comes out and he adds the glaze and he has this beautiful piece of pottery. But it would never have happened if he had skipped the process. And for you and I, God is a prayer answering God. God is one who wants us to bring our requests and our petitions to him. Because I believe, Hebrews 4:16, that we approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I believe that we can ask of God, make our petitions made known to God, and God can do what he wills, when he will, and however he wills. Now, that doesn't set well with you and I because we live in instant gratification culture. I want it now and I want it fast. We grew up totally different from our parents. Our parents, if they wanted a dining room set, they would save for 3 years to get a dining room outfit. For our generation, we just pull out plastic and we have it in 30 minutes. It's our DNA as humans. It's our nature as humanity. And it doesn't change when it comes to prayer because we have a need and we have something going on in our life and we need an answer and we want it now. But God has a plan. And when we learn to trust him, we understand that God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. He will raise up his faithful children in honor and power and character on his terms, not ours. Okay, so here we are, the prayer of Jabez. Interestingly enough, there are only two verses in the Bible that talk about this man. We have to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 to find him. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. But what we didn't do and what was not included in the book was none of the background. So we don't know the histrionics. We don't know what was taking place, so the only way to find that out is we have to dig a little bit. And what we found out was this. At the time of Jabez and his request, the Hebrew nation was a weak nation. And they had become devastated. And like King Saul, they went through a period of time where there was increase and there was blessing because God always wanted to bless his people. But at the same time, they began to decline. God allowed Babylon to come in, invade the nation, carry away the captives. They remained captive for 70 years. Coming out of that 70 years was when we find the story of Jabez. Jabez himself, if you read the men before him and you read the men after him, you find out that he lived around the time of Joshua and the conquest of Canaan. So what do we know about this guy? We know that he was a man of humble beginnings. We know that his mother named him Jabez, which means sorrowful, born in pain. Now, I've heard of people naming their children Faith, Charity, Love, Joy. I've never heard anyone name their child Pain. Can you imagine at the end of the day, mom comes out the front door and says, "Hey, Pain, supper time." Never heard of that. But that was the meaning of his name. When we think of Jabez, we seldom think that he's associated with the heroes of the Bible. We talk about Esther and Ruth and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and Job, and we talk about all of these people, but very seldom do we ever hear Jabez included in that list of Bible heroes. But the lesson that we learn from these two short verses is that when we trust God and call to him in our time with a pure heart, God can make heroes out of ordinary people, just like Jabez, just like you, and just like me. That's the kind of God that he is. God can take the unknown and make them known when we humble ourselves before him. So this is why it ties the prayer of Jabez to the preface that I gave you. That unfortunately, there were some people who read the book that thought by reading the book, they had found an overlooked prayer that would bring them instant solutions to their needs. And I think what God was wanting to get across was actually the purpose. What was the purpose? And you have an excellent outline in your prayer source booklet. There's an excellent outline of the prayer of Jabez. I would encourage you to take time to read that and walk through that. But when I see the purpose of Jabez, I see that the prayer of Jabez was a call to new desires, a new heart, a new birth. I see that the purpose was to become a new person and offer new prayers in a new way that would turn natural expectations upside down. Now, when we receive that answer to prayer, when we recognize that God is answering our prayers, there's three principles that I want you to remember. Because it's one thing, and we don't know how long that wait time is. So I want to encourage you. So, well, I had a friend that had a problem, and they prayed, and God took care of it in 2 days. I knew somebody else that had a problem, and they prayed, and God took care of it in 6 months. And I think I've shared this before, but it bears repeating just to encourage you. But we had a lady in our church in Jamestown, New York, that was praying that her son would come to Jesus. Every day, she made her request known to God. See, here's the thing. Your request may not look like Jabez's request. You may have a request that would go something like this: God, I've just been diagnosed with this disease. God, I need your healing touch. Father, I have a child who is wayward and stepped away from the faith and has not come back to the faith. God, I'm asking, would you bring them back to you? You see, our request may be different, but we still serve the same God. So this woman praying for her son, God asked her very simply, he said, what would you be willing to give up to see your son come to Jesus? What's the one thing that would be the hardest thing for you to give up? You know what she, well, you know, you don't know what she said. I'm going to tell you. She said, ice cream. Ice cream would be the hardest thing for me to give up. And God says, okay, you give up ice cream and I'll bring your son to Jesus. 51 years later, at 11:30 at night, she gets a phone call. And the voice on the other end of the line says, Mom, I know you were probably asleep, but I thought you would want to know. I just gave my heart to Jesus tonight. I've accepted him into my heart, and he is the Lord of my life. 51 years with no ice cream. So my next question was obvious. I said, so did you start eating ice cream? She goes, no. I had no desire for it. Why do I share that? Because sometimes the enemy brings into our thought life, God's never going to answer your prayer. You're not good enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't praised enough. You haven't fasted enough. You haven't read the word enough. You're not important enough. You're unknown. Nobody knows you. And what God is getting across to us today, if he can come in the life of somebody like a Jabez, that's only mentioned in two verses of the whole Bible, then he cares about you. And there's nothing too small or too great of what God can't do. So that's the purpose. And here's what I want you to remember. When God answers your prayer, here's what I want you to remember. A small struggling start doesn't necessitate a limited life. Did you get that? A small struggling start doesn't necessitate a limited life. You see, little is much when God is in it. And when we are just by ourselves with God, he still is a majority of one. So those prayer requests that Jabez prayed, I'm sure in his mind he felt like, I'm not like the big three, the big five, the big 10, but God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to be humble before you. God, I'm going to trust you. Number two, no measure of success is safe without God's presence and power. You're praying for God to do a big thing for you, but if you walk outside of his presence and his power, it will never work. And that's probably why the prayer hasn't been answered, because God knows your heart. And then number three, this applies to everybody. But when God prospers and blesses your life, no place for guilt remains. And that can come, believe it or not, that can come because God just blesses the socks off of you. And your friend every Sunday that sits by you is going through this deep, dark valley. Seemingly no answers to the prayer request, and God has just blessed you abundantly. And you start to feel guilty. Why am I so blessed when my friend seemingly has nothing? But God is saying to you today, there's no place for guilt when God blesses you. So I want to conclude with this. God wants us to experience his presence and protection. Jabez's prayer, God wants that. He wants to bless us and provide unlimited possibilities. But here's the thing, friends. If we don't hold on to the hope that we can be a part of a much larger world, we are doomed to remain and ignorantly blissful prisoner of the world we live in today. We have to have that hope. So I encourage you, pray earnestly. Present your request boldly. Praise joyfully. Wait patiently. And trust completely. Because God is a prayer answering God. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as they lead us in worship today?
The song is a prayer. We're going to pray this, that we would be a house of prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you'd give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.